This show is produced and hosted by Mark Weber. The show is sponsored by G3 Apparel. The views expressed in the following program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinion of 710 WOR or iHeartMedia. Who is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
It's these expressions I never knew that keep me searching for a heart.
I don't like humans. What a way to start. Just turn on the news. I don't care what station. I'll make my point. Now, I get it. It's quite controversial, probably confrontational, but I don't care. It's what I feel. I don't like humans. I'm not a fan of humans. Too many times, I've seen the disappointing side of the species. I'm not talking the dark, dark side. I'm not talking what you see in the evening news and posted in the newspapers, the worst on the covers, etc. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the ungrateful, the deceitful, the selfish, the self-absorbed, jealous, angry. Those who only think of themselves. Now, this is often manifested by a simple statement, a choice of words, a subtle slur, even an involuntary gesture. Definitely an occasional blow-up and a temper tantrum will tip you off, but humans, they're often wrong but never in doubt. Now, what about me? I'm no angel. I could be a bad guy. I like wearing the black hat from time to time. After all, I'm human, and that's the point. I'm a student of human nature. Always have been, always will be. I'm intrigued, I'm fascinated, I'm compelled to watch and observe people. Sometimes even instigate to get the essence of an individual. I want to know. I also could be a good guy. I prefer being the good guy. Call it moral code, loyalty, honesty. It's my core. I can wear the white hat. There's less agita, makes life simpler. Don't have to remember the lies if you're telling the truth. Lower blood pressure when you're the good guy. Good guy is just easier. I've worked with all kinds of people from all walks of life. I've traveled the world extensively, visiting foreign lands, interacting with people. I've worked with the sophisticated and the unsophisticated, the good guys and the not so good. Lots of attitude out there. It's a tough world. Some people are just carnivores. There are victims and there are predators. I think we see that in New York City now every day. Many, they think nobody's watching what they're doing. They certainly don't care. Yeah, I'm sure when they look in the mirror, though, here's the crazy part. They look in the mirror, they don't see the face of a bad guy looking back. One thing I've learned, one thing I'm sure about, humans will show who they are. At some point, their true nature is going to come out, humans. At this point, we've all made our choice. Some of us were taught to do the right thing. It is said that an honest person does the right thing when no one's looking. Some of us were taught to do what you want to at the expense of others. Don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness. There are people that can take the high road, but more times than not choose the low road. I have a problem with humans. I'm judging. Could be a small thing, could be a major issue. I'm watching human nature. Human nature just comes out. It could be obvious. We all have our tells. Either way, this is my view. Doesn't make me right. Doesn't make me a good guy. Doesn't say I'm a bad guy. It's just the way I am. I know right away, or I assume you know right away, what kind of person you're dealing with. I admit, of all the feedback we get on our show from you out there, on the top of the list of dislikes is you don't like when Mark says he doesn't like humans. People don't want to hear me saying this. Well, too bad. I'm not taking the sweet side here. Nope. No. However, I do appreciate the rarity. The individual, someone special, who always does the right thing, or that person who shows a little kindness, sincerity, or goodwill, those people I've learned to appreciate and learn to admire. The problem is I'm shocked when I see the beauty in people. I don't expect it. I remember my mother fell, hurt her side. took her to the doctor, took all the x-rays, said nothing was wrong. Take her home, stay with her. She'll be off her feet for a few days. She'll be fine. And a few days goes by, she's in excruciating pain. Her hip. She's not getting better. And I remember, I didn't know what to do. Where do you go? You just went to your doctor. They took all of the x-rays. I remember going to a Mercy hospital. And I walk in and I go to the floor with all the orthopedics. Nobody's there. I find secretaries. I said, my mother, I want to know, should I bring her in? Nobody could answer me. I remember when I left the hospital, I was in front. I sat down on a bench. I had my head in my hands. I was miserable. I was so sad. I was worried about my mother. She's in such great deal of pain. What am I going to do? And out of the blue, a woman walks up to me. And she looks at me. Can I help you, son? I was shell-shocked. I looked up. And I didn't know what to say. She says, you look troubled. Can I help you? And I explained to her what's going on. And she said, take her back to your doctor. That's the first thing you should do before you look for someone in a hospital. By the way, that's what I did, and it turned out they didn't read their x-ray, right? And she had a break in the side of her hip, which eventually went away. The point is, this woman, out of the blue, just looked at me and said, this boy needs help, this man needs my guidance, and I'm going to walk over and help. And I never forgot that. It was truly, truly amazing for me. Selfless or caring people, they give me faith in the species. Now, I'm talking my perspective. We're all entitled to our own radar. We all have our points of view. We judge people. It's a question of who you are and how you intend the world to see you. I'm not a fan of humans. I don't see enough substance. If you're listening, I get it. You're listening to me now. Who am I to judge? Who made me judge and jury? No one. None of us are judge and jury. But all of us have to decide who we are, who we like, and who we don't like for a myriad of reasons. This is how I process. I'm not a fan of humans. However, I've met amazing people who are inspiring, from simple kindnesses to acts of impossible kindness to people trying to improve mankind. And those are the ones who set the examples, and they are the ones that I want to focus on tonight. Character is always in fashion. I like that. Character is always in fashion. Clearly, the first responders at the front of the fight against COVID, the military, these unsung heroes trying to get us to take climate change seriously, they are good. Yeah, I do see good. I see greatness in people. I'll stand by what I said, though. I am not a fan of humans. I'm always looking, but I'm searching for people of character. So tonight, I'm searching for the good guys. I got some stories to tell you, some things to think about. Now, what got me thinking about this? In fact, what I'm really thinking about is God bless yous. Did you ever do something for someone, a friend, an associate, a stranger, and in return you get God bless you? If you take a minute to hear it, to listen to those words, feel the sentiment, it's priceless. Priceless. It means so much to me. I'll take help wherever I can get it. And with that in mind, that's what I want to talk about tonight. These acts of kindness are priceless. Speaking priceless, by the way, my son, my co-host, my lawyer, Jesse Weber.
Well, I got to tell you, forget priceless. I would call you predictable.
What's predictable?
You're predictable. You've been on this kick constantly past several weeks. You don't like humans. You don't like humans. I'm hearing it more and more and more. And I got to be honest here. It's one thing when you tell me that at home, but now you're talking about it on the radio, and I don't think it's sending quite the right signal.
Oh, is that so? So what's the right signal, Mr. Humanitarian?
Wouldn't it be nicer to say that you love your fellow man? Wouldn't that be nice?
And where does it say that? Does it say it in the Ten Commandments, the Constitution, or is this Jesse's law?
I think it's pretty much understood, no? And look, even if you have issues with human beings, I don't think you're setting the right tone for the show. This is an entertainment radio show.
So you want me to lie? Tell you how much I admire my fellow man? Don't you watch the news?
Hey, look, I'll be fair, okay? When we're alone and we're talking about stuff, you do. You're always the first to tell me that you wouldn't be where you are in this position without the help of some very key people along the way in your life. And that's not keeping with I don't like humans, right?
Yeah, but there are exceptions. I'm not ungrateful. I don't fool myself into thinking people didn't help me along the way. People taught me, mentored me, trained me, lectured me, disciplined me, and promoted me and demoted me, and they were role models. I get it. They set the stage by example. That's why I made it in America. There are special people out there. I acknowledge that. We've just lost so much of it. I don't see enough special.
Yeah, I get it. And look, you're still constantly talking about disliking humans. Hey, look, every day I see people, I talk to people, I encounter people around that I don't like, not particularly fond of. They say things that I can't stand.
So we agree.
Look, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I see the good before the not so good. I guess I'm a little bit more optimistic than you.
That's your opinion. Wrong, but you're allowed.
I'm wrong. Look, I'd rather be known for liking and appreciating people.
Good for you. I'd rather be right. I don't like humans in spite of it. I know I'm one of the good guys.
You're impossible. That's what you are.
Thank you. Well, tonight, this show is I want to search for good guys. Okay? That's what I want to do. Want to talk a little current events? I got crazy, just to change the subject a bit. By accident, I turned on Shepard Smith on I don't even know what station he's on anymore. It's not the point. He had a doctor on there. And he was asking the doctor questions. They were really good questions about COVID. And he says to the doctor, it just came out in the paper from the CDC that it's highly unlikely that we can get the disease from touching anything. And the doctor said, I've said that a year ago. This is an airborne disease. It's transmitted by the air from one person to the other. It's not going to be contagious by touching items. So Shepard Smith says, so you mean all of this wiping down and disinfecting we don't need? So he goes, it's highly unlikely that you need to do that. So Shepard Smith said, I'm not quite sure what you're saying. He said, you wash your hands, it'll all be all right. So does that mean we have to disinfect everything? No. So I'm listening to this. Jesse, you know as well as I, when these guys go on TV, they want to see themselves on TV, right?
Yeah, they're trying to get a message out, but look, the doctors are the same thing as lawyers. They're afraid to give a definitive yes, no answer. They're afraid of that.
Well, I have a rule for them. Shut up. What are you there talking about? You're sitting there, you're on there. They called you on specifically to talk about whether or not you can get the virus from touching things. And you know what he said? Absolutely nothing. Well, let me be intellectually correct. He said, you can't, but you can. You can't, but you can. This virus, all of this stuff, the communications from day one has been horrendous. To this day, it's horrendous. Here they have this expert on, I think it's MSNBC, talking to Shepard Smith. Can you get the virus from touching things? Well, it's really highly unlikely. The chances are low, but that means you can.
Here's the problem. If he says there's no way that you can get it from touching surfaces, we haven't seen one case, and then it turns out that he was wrong, what is he going to do? So instead he says, look, it's highly unlikely. So in the case that someone does get it from touching a surface, he says he could go back and be like, I never said you can't get it. I said it's just highly unlikely.
I'll rest my case right here, Jesse. He was useless. Doctor, should we keep disinfecting? Well, the chances are very low. But it's a good idea if you don't know where it's coming from. It's not that much of your time or effort to continue to disinfect until we get to somewhere else along the way where we know more. You want to talk about humans and I have no use for humans? That guy I had no use for. Jesse, I always have to listen to you because you're the voice of reason. We reverse roles very often. In this case, I know what you're trying to say. I admit, but I think we're both right. And I suppose it's a question of degree. However, it's my show, my microphone, my agenda, and in spite of my call for disdain of humans tonight, I'll find only positive stories, now that I got that one out of the way.
All right. I like it. It's a good compromise. You're a good guy. I like it.
Thanks. Okay. It's interesting, by the way, you say I'm a good guy, because I want to talk about tonight by making examples that I think are very relevant. Whenever I think about who the good guys are, I think about a story I met on being righteous and being in the Del Frisco's restaurant.
Oh, okay. Now we're talking about something that I like. We're going into food. I love the Del Frisco's food, this amazing steak restaurant in the city.
But I don't want to talk about the food tonight. I want to talk about the bathroom.
The bathroom? All right. So this one I got to hear.
I'll tell you why. This time of year, we would take the top 26 people of the company out to dinner. I'm hanging out in Del Frisco's. We have our drinks. I want to go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. And there's a bathroom attendant there. And I'm so upset.
I feel like everybody, every time you walk in, you see a bathroom attendant, there's a collective, got to deal with this guy now.
Well, there are so few places in the world that you're left to your own devices. And when you go to the men's room, I'd like to know that I'm to do my business by myself. And sure enough, I walk into Del Frisco and there's a bathroom attendant.
I always feel like they're judging me. Like they're like, oh, this guy's taking a little bit too long, huh? Oh, this guy's on his phone. Is he doing like I feel judged. I feel like they're just staring at me.
Now, that's the first time I had been there, so I didn't know he was going to be there. And frankly, I didn't have my suit jacket where I keep my spare cash. And I'm walking in there. Now I have to go to the men's room. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. I'm just uncomfortable. And when I come out, it's waiting there with the towel. You need a brush for your hair, sir. Take a piece of gum. And I have to say to him, you know, listen, I didn't know you're here. I have my money in my wallet. I'll catch you on the next time. And I walk out. And I remember walking out and I going back to my seat and I'm talking to one of the senior most executives in the company. And I say to him, I can't believe I just went to the bathroom and there's a bathroom attendant. I hate that. I can't stand it. And the guy looked at me and said, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? You think that guy wants to be in there? You think that he chose to have that as his career? He has no choice for whatever the reasons are. That's how he's making money. And you should be thinking about doing the right thing. You're looking at it the wrong way. And I'll never forget when he said it to me, how right he was, how small I felt, how unfair I felt, what a jerk I felt like. I remember I got into my pocket. I took out a $5 bill. I came back. And I handed it to him and said, thank you for before. I'm sorry I didn't have the cash then. And he looked at me and he said, God bless you. And I can tell you what that lesson did for me. Got to care about our fellow man. You got to understand why they're doing what they're doing. And it really helped me. I still don't like going in a bathroom seeing those guys there. But he said, God bless you to me. And I thought about it. And his God bless you to me meant so much. And I started thinking in life, I want to search for God bless yous. I'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll continue this conversation.
Always in fashion.
I am so excited that the world is starting to open up, that we see hope and we're getting interested in the way we look and dress again. I want to talk right now to the women in this country. It's time to come back, and you have a tremendous opportunity to look your best again. And I'm particularly excited to talk to you about Casper, the brand for women's related separates. Casper is a very, very stylish, contemporary brand that is going to clearly match the way you want to live your life going forward. There's so many things to do again. There's so many things that you want to accomplish, whether it's at home or at work. Casper has crafted an updated collection, a modern collection of easy, effortless classics that you could wear from morning until night. It's great to be able to wear a wardrobe that you'd wear to work and be proud, and you are competitive in that workplace, and then go out at night and feel like a woman. I am excited to start meeting people again and seeing people dress their best. Casper also makes the kind of clothes that you would wear for your Zoom phone calls, whether it's a sweater or a blouse. If you wear jeans and great tops to go with them. Casper has all of your wardrobe needs. They cover you great. They're simplistic and yet they're thoughtful with all the detailing and the emphasis on refined fabrics. I like looking at women's clothes. I spent 9 years working with Donna Karan. I understand what looks great. Casper has trend right jackets, blouses, dresses, knits. It's an amazing brand, and it's been around for a while. And if you don't know it, you should go in and find it, and I'll tell you where. You can find the Casper collection at Macy's or online at Macy's.com and, of course, at Casper.com. I don't recommend many brands, but in this case I will. I am impressed with Casper. Ladies, check it out. You'll see I'm right.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
I hate starting by saying I don't like humans, but that's what the show is about. I'm not a fan of humans. I have very little faith in the species, because generally speaking, you could be good, you could be bad, and too many people take the low road rather than the high road. I can't help it. But in spite of that, I made up my mind tonight. I'm going to take the high road because I'm in search of good guys. If you just tuned in, I just told a story of a great lesson I learned in life about having empathy for people, whatever they're doing. And if you do, and you do right by them, they might just say to you, God bless you. Happened to me, someone said to me, God bless you. It never caught my attention before, but when he did, it left a profound effect on me and it changed me. The next time this came up to me, I was in Miami Beach. My friends and I, we were working. We were doing a photo shoot on the beach in Miami. We started at 5 o'clock in the morning. We finished around 7 o'clock at night. We were exhausted. We needed a place to eat. We were driving home. We got lost. We were under a bridge. And we were lost. And it seemed like a scary part of town. But we didn't know where we were. And stupid us, we were driving with a convertible at the top down. And we're completely lost. We didn't have a GPS. This was before the GPS was in every car. And I remember looking around and we were saying, where are we? And there was a guy walking on the street alone. He didn't look safe. But he walked up to the car and he said to us, can I help you guys? And we looked and we said, well, we're lost. We want to get back on the highway. We just lost. And he took the time to explain to us exactly how to get out of there. We were judging a book by a cover. This was one of the nicest people I ever met in my life. I don't know why he was down on his luck, and obviously he was. But he gave us directions, told how to get there, asked us to repeat it back so he knew that we'd get there safely. I gave him a $10 bill. I was so relieved. And he looked at me and said, God bless you. Those God bless yous leave a profound effect on me. And that's what I don't want to talk about tonight. I'm talking about those people or those things that have happened to me that have left this feeling that as much as I don't particularly like humans, I do like the fact that amongst us there are some really, really good people. And I must admit, I love hearing when they say that to me. God bless you. I'll take help wherever I can get it. But the sentiment from which it comes, you've done something to help someone in their life, and it means a lot. And I think, at the risk of sounding like a good guy, I will tell you that I feel that those things matter. When it comes to working, if you're a boss, you have to be smart. You have to be sensitive. You got people's lives. I worked for a fellow, a great guy, one of my great mentors in life. One day he calls the management team into the boardroom. He says, I need to talk to you. I've been walking the floor every day, and I can't tell you how impressed I am with the amount of hours that you all put in and the time and effort you devote to this company. But I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned that the company doesn't provide you with an atmosphere that you know you could take some days off or you could take a vacation. I'm not happy seeing the way you're working. So this year, I am mandating that at a minimum, you take 2 consecutive weeks of a vacation. Not 1 week, not 5 days, 2 consecutive weeks. Because after the first week, you're still unwinding. I want you to enjoy your life. I want you to work here and be happy to be part of this because we work so hard. And for the record, the way I'm going to mandate it and enforce it is anybody who we can't measure, 2 weeks to rectification, we're going to deduct 10% from your bonus. That was incredible. That's incredible. And you'd be surprised with all the work you can do at home today, you bosses out there. Maybe you never have to go back to 5 days a week. I'm searching for some good guys. Maybe right now I'm trying to train some good guys, influence some good guys. And I'm talking about guys and girls.
Let me ask you a question. I think it might have been Spain is considering the four-day work week. What do you think of that?
You know, they already have an unusual system where they go home for lunch for a few hours and come back at 5 o'clock. Look, I believe in the five-day work week. I think it keeps us disciplined. There's a lot of work we need to do. I believe in that. I don't believe in a four-day work week. But I never believed in working at home until now. As long as people are earnest about being available, being on the phone, all these Zoom calls, the world has changed. And I happen to believe that when I'm doing a show called Searching for the Good Guys, I'm talking to you guys, I'm talking to you gals, I'm talking to you boys, I'm talking to you girls, I'm talking to you men, I'm talking to you women, all of people in a decision-making capacity, why not have a heart? Why not realize these people are devoting their time and energy for the company? Why not think about making it easier? Why don't you be a good guy? I'll take a break. When we come back, I have a great story to tell you.
Always in Fashion.
It's Mark Weber, host of Always in Fashion. Karl Lagerfeld was one of the world's most celebrated fashion icons. His creative genius still lives through with his Karl Lagerfeld Paris collection. Karl Lagerfeld was known for his artistry, his photography, his fashion design. He was a brilliant, brilliant creator. And he was also known for his cutting edge and aspirational and inspirational approach to style and life. Included in the Karl Lagerfeld Paris collection is women's ready-to-wear, accessories, shoes, and bags. Karl Lagerfeld also offers a wide range of watches, eyewear, and premium fragrances. The Karl Lagerfeld brand is there for you to be different, to be special, and feel unique. Explore the Karl Lagerfeld collection at karllagerfeld.com.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
I'm searching for a feeling. I got every reason to feel. Tell me you
tonight I'm searching for good guys. I have consistently said I don't like humans. We get so many letters to the station, and the thing that infuriates people, it seems, that I stand up here and say I don't like humans. A lot of people call up and even ask, is he serious? Yeah, I'm serious. Unfortunately, too many of you out there just aren't good guys. You don't do the right thing. Too many people are just not right. I'm so disappointed in my fellow humans. So many things are wrong. And you want to argue with me, just turn on the news, which I don't do. The only time I listen to the news now is when it's by accident. I'm besides myself. The things I hear that break through, even though I'm not paying attention, I want to scream at the screen. I want to scream at the TV. I want to roll down my window on the car and scream. I can't take it. I can't take it. But that aside, I know. And I am thrilled, and I am always thankful and grateful when I find good guys, people that just do the right thing. I never expect it. I'm always shocked by it, but it's there. I see it all the time. Over the course of my career, my life, I've learned that doing the right thing for people pays in dividends. You may not see a dollar for it, but the way it makes you feel makes it worthwhile. And that's what I'm kind of talking about tonight. Now, I could be a bad guy just like anyone else. I could be vengeful. I don't forgive. I could get angry. I form opinions quickly. God forbid you're my friend and you ask me, how's my show, and you tell me you didn't listen. Forget it. But the reality is, after all is said and done, sometimes I do the right thing. I have a story to tell you that I really think is an interesting one. I call it the $1 billion story. Ever tell you this story about the time, Jesse, that PVH earned $1 billion?
That is not what I thought this story was about. I thought this was you going to reveal that you're a billionaire and you never told us, and this was the way you were going to reveal it. But unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case.
Sorry. But PVH, Philips Van Heusen, the company that I spent my first 30 years with, I was president, board member, eventually CEO. They went from a small public company to a big one. And I want to share with you that story because it's a very interesting story. Van Heusen, PVH, Philips Van Heusen, Philips family name. Van Heusen was the corporate brand name and, of course, one of the most famous shirt brands ever. But believe it or not, we were number three in the shirt companies in the world. The largest shirt company was the Arrow Shirt Company. All the shirts were made of cotton, a lot of button-down Oxford shirts, very traditional shirts. It was the quintessential WASP shirt in America. And after all is said and done, when you hear about the way the country's divided between the left and right, center-right was where Arrow was. There was another shirt company called Manhattan Shirt Company, and they had one brand in particular called John Henry, and it was their designer, the number two guy in the company, who came up with, at the time, a fitted shirt. You'd call it slim fit today or body fit, whatever you call it. They were the first with it. They did a very small package. They had great styling, and they sold a ton of shirts. And when I talk a ton of shirts, we're talking in the millions. And PVH was the innovative company. We were smart. We were like, We just come up with new products. They weren't necessarily classy products. Some come to mind. Splendor. We did a shirt called Splendor. It was a double-knit polyester shirt that we made for a dress shirt. Polyester double-knit, like a polo shirt material, but out of polyester. And we sold millions and millions of dozens. And it put us on the map. Then we made a shirt called Kiana, a product developed by Burlington Industries, when Burlington was a big company in the United States making textiles for apparel, as well as for, you know, home goods and automobile seat covers, etc. We had a shirt called Kiana. It was nylon. It was a silky knit nylon shirt. Nobody ever made dress shirts out of nylon knit fabric, let alone polyester. We called it Kiana, which was the name of the fabric. We had it exclusive, millions of dozens. Now, all of a sudden, this catapulted us from number three to number two, and we were chasing down the Arrow Shirt Company, who's still so far in advance of us. So far in advance. They were the class act, but we were finding clever ways. We were the scramblers, and we had these two shirts, and now it's disappearing. What to do? I was the textile buyer for the company. I used to go back and forth to Japan a million times a year. I spent weeks and weeks of time in Japan. And I have a story to tell you about looking for good guys. I'm in Japan, and I come across this fabric. You would know it as microfiber. All of you ladies have dresses made out of microfiber. They're polyester. Polyester used to be a no-no. They dressed it up, made it finer, called it microfiber, and everybody loves microfiber. It's amazing. You find it in everything. Most of the sports shirts that are used for active wear or for actually sports like golf or running, they're all microfiber. I came up with a woven version that was sturdy, woven fabric that you used to making dress shirts, and I found it in Japan. And I remember I was amazed by it because here was a company that built itself on coming up with innovative new products. And here I am in Japan, and I find what might be the savior of the company. After two huge runs, 10 years of making Kiana and Splendor, we're at a loss. And I found this. And I'll never forget. I'm sitting there in Japan. I start going over the pricing with them. I ask them what they're using it for. They said, it's just been developed. How much can you make of it? You tell me how much you want. We can make it all. What's it going to be used for? We're asking you that. Be great for sport shirts, we know, but we know you're a dress shirt company. Would you consider it for dress shirts? I said, that's exactly what I'm considering. This could be amazing for us. And I said to this particular maker at the time, can you get millions of yards of this for this year? Yes. If I was willing to buy millions of yards, would you give it to us exclusively? They said, yes, we can't stop the rest of Japan from making it, but we would garner up as much of the production as we can for you, and you pretty much would have it exclusive. So I took the fabric, I took a yard of it, put it in a Federal Express package, and I sent it to my boss, who was in Hong Kong at the time. I was in Japan, and I was going to meet him in Hong Kong. I said, wrote him, called him, and I said, I have this incredible new invention. It's amazing. Amazing. I think this could be the next Kiana or Splendor for us. I said, I'm going to send it home, a piece of it to the marketing team. I'm sending home a piece to our engineers to confirm that we can make this. Came back that it can be sewn. It was a little more difficult to sew than usual because it's so silky. And they figured out how to make dress shirts. I did all this work, and I sent it on to my boss. About a week, 10 days later, I'm in Hong Kong with my boss, and he says, I love it. This is great. This is great, Mark. This is really, you found something here that could be amazing. Anyway, I had work to do in Hong Kong and Taiwan and Korea, so I ended up staying another few weeks in the Far East. And I came home, and I walked into a meeting one day. And my boss at the time, the senior vice president of the dress shirt division, was presenting ideas to the board. And in there, he presented his idea for the replacement of Splendor and Kiana. The marketing people got their arms around it at the time, and they called it Super Silk. And I listened to him talk about how he found this and how he invented this, and how it would change the fate of the company who needed a new exciting product. The marketing people were there. They said they're going to sell millions of dozens. They started talking it up, millions of dozens. Going to do an advertising campaign around it, millions of dozens. And I sat there, and through the entirety of this meeting, I never heard once Mark Weber found this fabric. You want to talk about searching for good guys? Jesse, you want me to talk about why I have little faith in my humans, my fellow humans? There's an example if you ever wanted one.
Wow.
I don't know if you've ever told me that story.
Good. I tell you and the rest of the world out there.
You're still thinking about that, huh?
Well, when I thought searching for a good guy, and I want to talk about $1 billion, it came to mind that I never told it. The point of the story is he could have taken all the credit for coming up with how to plan it, marketing, but he should have said, we're a team. Mark found this. Never heard a word Mark with that fabric. He took the credit for it, and I couldn't do anything about it. That's not the purpose of the story. The purpose of the story is we ended up winning those shirt wars. It took a while. It took a while. It's a long story how we got there. We ended up in the long term buying the Arrow Shirt Company. It's still part of Van Heusen. It's owned now by the Van Heusen Company, the Arrow Shirt Company. We pretty much drove the Manhattan Shirt Company out of business, and we became the number one shirt company in the world. This small public company, $250 million, was approaching $1 billion. Larry Phillips, the chairman of the company, the great-grandson of the founder of the company, was in his glory. He had a number of tries to make himself and the company great. He never did, but now the corporation's flying. We opened outlet stores. We had 1,000 outlet stores at one time. We were one of the first in the business. We were controlling the dress shirt business. We bought a number of sportswear companies. We were really, really pounding it out, and we were about to be a $1 billion company. In fact, don't hold me to the year. Call it 1999, for want of a better explanation. I don't remember exactly what year it was. After first quarter in March, we realized that in second quarter, sometime in May, we would reach $1 billion in sales in our company for the first time in history. And the company said, how should we celebrate? What a great event, right?
How should we celebrate? How about we give Mark credit?
I only deserved a portion. And at this time, I was the president of the Van Heusen Shirt Company. I was the one who had the honor of overseeing the Phillips Van Heusen Company when it reached $1 billion. It was a great time. So I met with then my close friend, the head of marketing for the company, a fellow named Henry Justice, and we started to talk about what we can do. And I said, why don't you think about it, Henry, and come back? I'd like to do something big and smart. Henry disappears. A few days later, he calls me up and says, Mark, I'm coming down to your office. walks down the hall, comes to my office. I think I have a great idea. Why don't we rent one of those sightseeing boats on the East River and float around and go to the Statue of Liberty? And with the Statue of Liberty, we will have an event on the boat, champagne for everyone, and we'll congratulate the company on reaching $1 billion. I said, that's an amazing idea. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Beautiful May, June day to be out there on the water. Great. And we invited every single person in the New York office was the plan. And it was turned out to be between 350 and 400 people. So it was a massive event. Now, we got really clever along the way. We had been doing advertising on beaches where we'd take the planes with the banners behind them, shop in Van Heusen. We also started doing skywriting. At the time, there was a fellow my friend Henry met who owned a series of, I guess, World War II jet planes that he used for spraying skywriting. And at the appropriate time that night, call it 6 o'clock, the planes flew over and they spelled out, congratulations, Van Heusen, $1 billion. It was an amazing event. And then when it got dark, we had fireworks over the Statue of Liberty. Amazing. Amazing event. Mommy was with me. She was so happy to be there. But here's what I did, in addition to however I helped the process. At the time, there were 5 living presidents of the Van Heusen Company. Larry Phillips, Stan Gillette, Chuck Smith, Bruce Klatsky, and myself. And I invited all 5 presidents to be on the boat, and each of them address the crowd. Amazing. Now, the interesting thing, if you listen to the show, I've mentioned all of those people. Larry Phillips, the grandson, son of the founders. Stan Gillette, I've talked about him before. One of the most important tenets of this show, how you package yourself is as important as the products you package. And public speaking and the words that come out of your mouth are so incredibly important. And I learned that by seeing Stan Gillette, the first president I met after Larry Phillips. I went to an event. I've talked about this before. He stood up there. It was a State of the Union. He gave an address, no notes, 1 hour straight. Brilliant. I never saw anybody do that before. That he could stand and talk about the future of our company and all of our roles in it without any notes. And I was determined at that time, I'm going to learn how to do that. And it changed my life, and I certainly did. Chuck Smith was a brilliant guy, marketing guy. Swim with a fish or swimming, kid. All kinds of things. And then, of course, Bruce Klatsky, my mentor and my partner throughout the 30 years. Most of what I know, I learned from him. I couldn't have done what I did without him. And to he and I were words and music. And, of course, there was me. And we all got up and made a speech. And it was one of the most brilliant and happy nights of my life and my career. But when I talk about searching for the good guys, Stan Gillette, at this time, was an older man. I'm going to say he was in his mid-80s. And as he always did, he was dressed elegantly. He got up to speak. He had a brilliant speaking voice, a brilliant style. He had no notes. And at the end of his speech, he said, I can't tell you what it means to me and my wife to be remembered. Thank you so much. I never forgot that. And at night we're talking about searching for the good guys. I don't know if I'm a good guy or a bad guy, but I tell you what, that night, giving him that platform, I was a good guy, and I'll never forget it. We'll take a break. We'll talk some more about searching for good guys.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. I remember so clearly when Donna Karan hit the scene. It was explosive. She was one of the most dynamic designers in the history of the world, and her product was very, very different from anything anyone in America had ever seen. She was modern. She was New York. She was vibrant. When you looked at the business in those days, there were companies like Ralph Polo or Tommy Hilfiger or Nautica, great traditional American brands, but no one identified modern. You wanted modern, you had to find Giorgio Armani. Black was the basis of his presentation, and everything about it had a European chic to it. But not in America, until Donna came. Donna was a New York Life resident, understood the pace of the city, understood what it was like to live in the city that never sleeps, that goes 24/7. Donna invented DKNY, Donna Karan, New York. I'll never forget the first time I saw it. I was in London, and they had built a magnificent four-floor store in a building with an open roof, a glass ceiling. Glass ceiling, I suppose, representing we're changing the way things are done. DKNY was, frankly, nothing short of extraordinary, both men and both for women. Black was the basis of the brand, although the many colors played off the palette. And they all look good against black. Let's face it, we live active lifestyles. We get up in the morning, we do different things. We work, we play. Evenings is about entertaining and seeing the best that New York has to offer. DKNY offers a collection of menswear and womenswear, but footwear, accessories, suits, shirts, ties, women's sportswear, women's activewear that speaks to the lifestyle that goes with you wherever you want to go. And it's always modern, it's always contemporary, it's always at the forefront of what fashion should be with a New York lifestyle in mind. I've lived the life. I was the chairman and CEO of Donna Karan. I understood what that brand meant. And I can tell you, if you want to step out, and you want to walk away from your traditional roots, if you want to be modern, you want to make a statement of elegance, but in a New York kind of way, with the sophistication of New York, as a person who understands all the city has to offer and all the modern lifestyle in America is about, you find it everywhere. People are forcing themselves, urging themselves to get out and be special and live this lifestyle. DKNY. You can find DKNY at DKNY.com or in Macy's. I'm telling you guys and I'm telling you ladies, you can look chic, you could look special, you look right. DKNY.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Almost uncomfortable saying right out there, I don't like humans. Can't help myself, though. After all is said and done, I think we humans earned it. I have very little faith in our species because of the way they behave. When you really think about it, it's not so hard, not so difficult to be good guys. I know for myself, I feel better being a good guy. I can put my head in the pillow at night and sleep. It's less worry. You don't have to think about covering up on your lies. You don't have to be deceitful. You just be a nice person and it comes back to you. I know from my experience, whether I'm walking down the street and I do something nice for someone, I put a dollar in their cubbyhole and they need the money and they look at me and they say, God bless you. It means a lot to me.
It was funny. I was on the morning show this past week, the Len Berman, Michael Riedel show. I was talking about our show this weekend and I was like, yeah, in search of a good guy. And they said, what, you don't know any good guys? And I was like, that's why we're talking about the show. There's very few out there. And I couldn't think, who else are good people that you know? You think there are any good politicians? Good people who are politicians?
Ah, gee whiz. What do I want to go on record saying here? Now I'm being politically correct. I would say to you that I think most politicians started out with the right ideals and trying to do the right thing. But I think they get drafted, they get warped, they get on the party line. They can't possibly believe all the things they're saying and doing. A $2 billion stimulus package, only 5%, I'm reading, is going to actually be towards stimulus. The building roads and bridges, everything else is going to deal with whatever was on the Democratic playbook. How could you believe in people that do that? Look, I've said it before, if you listen to me, I'm hard right on business and I'm left of center on social issues. I want to be fair to people. I want to hear some of this nonsense. Who knows what's right?
Well, I'll tell you this much. If politicians, they took away the fame, the privileges, any money you could make from it. If it was just like a civil service job, like you had another job and you just had to come into politics to help the greater good, I think only the good people would be a part of that.
President Biden never worked a day in his life in the private sector. Never had to make a living outside of politics. Schumer never worked in the private sector. I don't believe Nancy Pelosi ever worked in the private sector. They behave as if they're men or women of the people, but what do they know about our lives and what we need to do? How do they know how to run an economy if they've never been involved in bringing in a dollar's worth of business and innovation? Not a small business, not a professional business. I don't know. Maybe some of them were lawyers. There's a reason their approval ratings are so low. But are they bad people? I can only imagine the pressure. Imagine if you were a Democrat right now and you didn't agree with the stimulus package, that you believed stimulus is just that. $2 trillion is supposed to be spent on roads, bridges, infrastructure, and 5%. What would happen if they stood up and said, I can't vote for this?
You'd be kicked out of the Democratic Party.
Well, I don't know if they could actually kick me out, but my career would be jeopardized. I couldn't sit on committees. They wouldn't help me get reelected. They won't talk to me. They'll ostracize me. When was that the way it was set up? It's unbelievable. So if you're asking me about the one wrong thing, politicians. I found lawyers, attorneys in business were incredible for me. They kept me out of trouble, and they advised me on what I can and cannot do. When you're in our business, the apparel business, the luxury business, a million things you can and cannot do, things you in every walk of life. You have a label, you have a bag, you have a thread, you have to protect it. What happens if someone copies it? What happens if somebody's going into bankruptcy and they happen to be renting one of your brands? What are your rights if they're going bankrupt? What if they owe you money? On and on and on. I've found lawyers to be brilliant. However, when you have the misfortune of having to hire a lawyer to help you personally, and you see the way they run up the bills, terrible. More importantly, when you have two sons who are lawyers, and they're being physically and mentally abused by the amount of hours, day and night, that they have to work, how could you like them? But I'm sure there are a lot of good guys out there and good gals. By the way, I'm using the word guys tonight, and it means women and men. I have had people that I work for that promoted me, talked well of me, built me up in front of the eyes of the management of the company or the corporation, and I share with you tonight someone who took credit for my work. There's all kinds. The end game here, though, to answer your question, I clearly don't like humans, and I've equally clearly been searching for the good guys. And if nothing else tonight, I think about myself, and maybe, just maybe, I'm one of the good guys. In spite of myself, maybe I'm just one of them. Good night. Keep me searching for a heart.